Join us now, that you would speak through me, that my words would be your words, that everything I say would be according to your will, and that we would be transformed and brought into fellowship, true fellowship with one another as we live our lives here as your body. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think it was 2 weeks ago that we focused on meditating on God's Word. God's Word is life, and so we said we need to be in God's Word. We need to be studying God's Word. We need to meditate on it day and night, to take the time, because when we try that, it seems that we always have something else coming. We have to be intentional. Last week it was, we have a wonderful gift of prayer. And we need to be crying out to God in prayer. Not prayer as something uncomfortable we do in groups, but rather we pray when we are in that comfort zone of who Christ is and what he has done for us. And he has opened the throne room of God so that we can cry out to him always. And we said, we'll look at Paul as an example. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul says. And he says, primacy, or the primacy, thankfulness is primus, the prime thing in prayer. Wow. It's the first thing. We need to be people of thanksgiving because it takes the focus off of us and all of our worries and takes us on to what God has already done. Well, today we're looking at koinonia, the Greek for fellowship. And this fellowship isn't something that we've just made up, but rather it flows from the Trinity itself. The three distinct people, but in fellowship, one God. One God, three persons. And we see fellowship as even Christ would go out early in the morning and he would pray to the Father because they were in a relationship with each other. And we are created in the image of God. Yes, it was broken in the fall, but restored through his gift of baptism and faith so that we are now in a relationship with God, vertical, and a relationship with each other, horizontal. And so today, we look at the discipline. And I think it truly needs to be a discipline of we come together. We come together in fellowship with one another because this is where Christ has placed us. April 9th, 1945. At Flossenbürg concentration camp, under the orders of Heinrich Himmler, Hitler's executioner, a Lutheran pastor by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer was put to death. He was arrested 2 years before that and moved from prison to prison, from Tegel to Berlin to Buchenwald to Schoenberg to Flossenbürg. And as he was moved around, he lost all contact with others, with friends, with family. All those relationships were severed. The outside world was cut off from him. But yet, as he sat there, often alone, he would meditate on the scriptures. And especially one that stuck out to him was Psalm 133. How beautiful it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And he kept thinking about it, and he wrote letters and prison papers that later were compiled into a book called Life Together. And it's beautiful. Just some quotes from it. The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. We have each other. And it's a wonderful blessing of great joy. It was all stripped from him. He had these relationships, and it was no longer, and he lost it, and he realized how much of a blessing it is. It is a physical sign of the gracious presence of the triune God. Hear that again. It is a physical sign of the gracious presence of the triune God. You being here is a sign to one another that God cares for them. I know we often think, you know, if I miss a worship or I miss a Bible study or that meeting, I really don't need to go to, or whatever it is, you know, when it comes to the church, whether it be a youth group, whether it be, you know, whatever it might be, you are needed. Just your presence. And it might even be worse because we're good Lutherans and I can look out and you're sitting in your normal seats. So when you're not here, people know. And they miss you. You are needed. You are needed. And that's the amazing thing when we care for people and we help them in times of need. It's not us going. It's not just bringing a meal, but it's bringing the love of Christ to these people. Another one. The person, actually, how inexhaustible one are the riches that open up for those who by God's will are privileged to live in the daily fellowship and life with other Christians. The wonderful gifts that we have when we live together in fellowship. And then finally, let him who has such a privilege thank God on his knees and declare it is grace and nothing but grace that we are allowed to live in fellowship with Christians. We have a wonderful gift that we are allowed to come together. Bonhoeffer lived in a time when that was stripped from him. It was taken away from him, but we are here. And so let us praise God for that. That we are able to assemble as God's church, as one. I mean, think about how many times in the scriptures, there's many but one. We are one family with one Father. We are many branches that go into one vine. There is one flock, but there is one shepherd. There is one king and one kingdom, and there are many parts, but there is one body. And as hard as that is to kind of comprehend in our society today, that is the wonderful truth that we have. We are one. And as was read earlier, just because you're one part of the body that maybe isn't as visible as the other doesn't mean you're any less or deserve any less honor or anything else, because you are all needed. We are brought together, and the scriptures go on to say that we are all given gifts, and we're brought together in this body so that the gifts that God gives us can be used in fellowship with one another so that the world will see him. We are to come together, to do life together. You know, Jesus in John 17 prays that they would be one like we are one. That was his prayer before going to the cross, that we would be one. And not that we would just get along, not that we would just come together and worship for an hour together, then go and live our lives, but that we would be one body in Christ through the wonderful gift of salvation that God gives to us. That we truly are one. There's one God, one baptism, one faith, one power, one purpose, one mission, one truth. And we have that. And we are to be together. You know, I heard a pastor say that the most selfish thing ever invented was an iPhone. You know, I guess I didn't read any of it, and you know, I was a little before me, but when the TV was invented, it's the downfall of society. You know, it's terrible. But at least there was kind of in the studies a silver lining that at least TVs were getting bigger and bigger. So that, you know, there would be community. I mean, you would bring your family together to work to watch TV together. You would go to the theaters to do it together. Now, the screens they're still getting bigger, but they're getting smaller. And we like these, and I'm just as guilty as everyone else. We like them because we can create our own worlds. We can do it on our own. I can invite certain friends and I can block others and I can have certain news feeds and not listen to others. I can play these games and this music and this song list and this podcast and whatever I want. And if I don't like it, then it's gone. And how sad that is, because we start to become God, right? A little bit. You know, I get to decide. I don't like you, you're gone. I want this, okay. And the church is not that way. The church can't be that way, because we are brought together. Church is not a private thing. You know, outside of salvation, only you can believe. Only you can. Your salvation doesn't save your children or your grandparents or anybody else but you. But outside of that, it's never looked upon as an individual thing. It's always the church. The Old Testament was never the individual. It was always Israel. Israel was God's people. Today, it's the church. It's not individual Christians. You know, and I think it's sad. I think it's sad as we hear more and more people say they're leaving the church but finding Jesus. How can they do that? Or what are they doing? Again, it's kind of drawing themselves into their own bubbles, and now I can form Jesus into the Jesus I want him to be. So if I don't like this, then I don't have to deal with it. And if I don't want to deal with this sin in my life, then I can just say it's not sin and that Jesus just loves me. No, we need each other. We need to grow with each other. We need to study God's word together. We need to fellowship with each other. We need to pray with each other. We need to do life together, because we will fail. We will fall if we don't stand together. I mean, listen to this, the reading from Acts again. And I know this is descriptive, but I think it's a clue to us on how we should live. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and into prayer. Everyone was filled in awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together, koinonia, and they had everything. They sold the property and possessions and gave it to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, and had glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily. Now, is this saying that we should go sell all that we have? I don't think so. But I think it is showing that we are not alone. That we can't look at my life and it's just me and I only have to worry about me and my family out there. No, we are all the body together. We are the family together, and we have to care for each other. And we should join together, and it's not just an hour-long exercise each week, but it's day in and day out. I think I mentioned this at the beginning. Maybe it was with the whole Bible thing, reading the Bible. We have to clear our schedules so that we can live a little bit more as God wants us to live together. Together. How an amazing thing it is when we come and join together. You know, God calls us to this. We are the one body. You know, so we need to pray. We need to pray, because our sinful flesh, my desires is to kind of be with myself. But we've been placed together. And we have this wonderful relationship together in Christ through Jesus' blood. Jesus didn't just come to die so that our sins would be forgiven. He came so that we would be one. And I love it, and I know I've mentioned this before. That's why I believe the church began not at Pentecost, but at the cross. John, take your mother, Mary. Mary, take your son. He's starting a new relationship there that we are to live in today. And so thank you. You know, over the last couple months, we've had a lot of opportunities to share love and share fellowship with one another, and I think we've stepped up. So thank you. Thank you for that. Continue to do that, because we are not in this alone. We have each other. We have one another to walk along with in this relationship. And so let us be people of relationship. Let us be a church of true koinonia, sharing with each other our good days and our bad as we wait and hope, as we talked about last week, for Jesus' coming. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us one, that you have brought us all from all of our different areas of life, different age, different backgrounds, different jobs, different everything, but you have made us one in Christ, in his cross, so that we could go out and share the love that you have for us. Allow us to be your body in this world. Allow us to be your flesh in this world, so that when the world sees us, they see you, and that they would glorify the Father. Lord, bless us in this. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us rise as we go to the